It is a bit warmer today than it has been the past few days. It's also a little drier. We've had quite a bit of rain, and I guess that contributed to the fog this morning. But it's good that you are here, that you are gathered with us as the church meets in this location. If you'll notice this morning, as the songs that we have sung, the songs that are on the board to be sung, the focus is on the church. And the reason for this is because the church matters. For a text, I have chosen Matthew 16, verses 15 through 19. If you'll turn there in your Bibles, we'll know what has occurred there. Jesus had just previously come to his disciples. He'd asked them who that men say that he was. And as the answer was given by the disciples, Jesus said to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." It was in this blood-bought institution that Jesus was speaking of that he referred to as my church. If it was important enough for Jesus Christ to die, to purchase it on the cross, don't you think the church matters? You know, many people today minimize the importance of the church. Some think that the church is simply something that religious people have conjured up in which they might direct their worship. Many different things have come about through the years that are called church. And that's because of the misunderstanding of the importance of the church, the misunderstanding that the fact that the church matters. Because man has determined that the church doesn't matter, attendance is affected. I'm seeing this and hearing this from every direction that church attendance in general is down. I'm hearing it from preachers within the body of Christ who said that attendance in many places is down. Some people seem to think that because some folks are coming back that they're attendance is increasing. No, it's just going back to where it was previous the pandemic and that sort of thing. But when attendance is affected, spirituality is affected. It has been long my contention that attendance is a symptom. It is something that comes about because people do not realize how much church matters. When spirituality is affected, souls are endangered. We would not want to do anything that would cause a soul to be eternally lost. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross so that souls could be eternally lost. He died on the cross to purchase the church so souls could be saved. And he said, "I will build my church." The church is God's only plan for human fellowship and unity. It is the only body which was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. It was put here upon earth, and it was given for our benefit. And it has a solid foundation. The church will not be destroyed because it remains on that solid foundation. As you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, we'll see that the Apostle Paul was directed by the Spirit to write of this foundation. And that foundation is upon the one whom died upon Calvary's cross. Paul was directed to write, "Therefore, other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." In fact, anything that is not built on this foundation will fail. It will ultimately be destroyed. Anything that is built upon this foundation that is not built according to the plan of the great architect, God the Father, will fail. And it will be destroyed. The church that Jesus died for cannot fail. You know, it is a sad fact that congregations fail. Some do. Recently, we've had visitors who have reported the sad situation in which the congregation where they once attended, they could no longer attend there. They had to seek somewhere else to worship. They had to separate, several of them did, and begin a new work. And their focus was to stay upon the foundation that Jesus Christ laid, to be part of the body for which he died upon Calvary's cross, and realizing and understanding that some of their brethren who decided to remain in a body that was no longer building properly upon that foundation will also suffer destruction. Individuals within various congregations can fail, and sadly, some do. We all could think of someone who at one time were stalwart members of the body of Christ, ardent defenders of the faith, quick to point out error, diligent in service, fervent in spirit. But alas, some have drifted away. But the church is the one organization that will survive through eternity. It will survive this world, all that this world can throw at it, all that this world can heap upon it. And as according to Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, we see that it was prophesied that it was going to be a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That's important. Wouldn't we want to realize and understand that the church matters because it cannot be destroyed? Daniel was directed to foretell, and in the days of those kings, or these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it will stand forever. Think about all of the things that have come and gone in our lives. Think of the things that we thought were going to be there as long as we were here. And they're gone. The corporations and man-made institutions of the world will dissolve and crumble. The mighty Sears, Montgomery Ward, Blockbuster, Radio Shack. Man, these things were ubiquitous. You couldn't drive down the street without seeing a Radio Shack. Where are they now? Toys R Us. We could go on and on. All of these things that had been in positions and in situations a long time and thriving, they fall by the wayside. All human organizations come and go. The governments of the world will all dissolve. They will all crumble. We are worried about the present state of our nation, the present state of our union, and well, we should be. But we need to face the reality that there is no guarantee that our government will not crumble and fall, because that is the way of man-made institutions and situations. Where's the once mighty Babylon? They ruled the whole world. What about Rome? Rome still exists, but its power pales in comparison to what it once controlled. Where's the Ottoman Empire? Where are other empires that have lasted thousands of years? Nations rise and nations fall. Only the Church of Jesus Christ is guaranteed to last forever. Where should we be spending our time and efforts? We should be spending our time and efforts to paying attention and doing those things that the church should do, because the church matters. The church matters because the church is God's plan. It is God's plan to replace what the fall of man corrupted. Man was placed here on earth and given an opportunity to live in perfect harmony with all of creation, with himself, and with God. But Adam and Eve sinned. And through their sin, corruption entered humanity. And because of that, we see that death passed to all. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us, we wonder how come it is that everybody has to die, no matter how good they are or how diligent they are in service to God. And sometimes we think just because a person is serving God faithfully that they're going to be protected. No, death is part of life. Romans 5:12 tells us, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're going to die. Our bodies are going to go back to that from which it came. But how does God remedy these corruptions? According to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, it's only through the body of Christ, the church, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He separated out a group of people. And it was through this group of people that his son would come. And his son would die upon Calvary's cross. And he would separate, he would take away that separation. And he would bring to man the means for salvation, his precious blood. But in that one body, what is the body of Christ? Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23 tells us it is the church. The church matters because it's God's plan. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It is the part of the eternal plan of God that as the salvation of the souls of men occur through contacting the blood of Christ. Stop and think about it. Where is every soul that contacts the blood of Christ placed? And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's God's plan for human fellowship and for unity. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, we see that we're added to the church. We become part of the same body, that body of believers, that body of blood-bought believers who constitute the church. Which in and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. We see in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11 that all mankind could be united, provided that they faithfully participate in God's plan. One must be added to the church by their obedience of the gospel. And when they are added, they become part of that body. They are united. This is God's eternal purpose and why the events of the Old Testament occurred to bring the Christ, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church is God's plan, and those who participate per Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and following become members of the church, which is the same as becoming children of God. And it informs us how to become the children of God. So many people miss this. They say, well, the church doesn't matter because there's different ways to get into the church. I have had people to approach me and say, I want to join the church. You can't join the church. You have to be added to the church. And this passage tells us, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Remember, we're talking about the unity. We're talking about the oneness. We're talking about the singleness of the body. He says, for there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This promise, of course, is the promise of salvation that is only in Christ, only a part of God's plan. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 16 through 18 tells us that the church is God's plan for lost souls' reconciliation with Him. You see, we, the sinful, have separated ourselves from God by our actions, by our daily life, by the things that we do in our lives. Once we become accountable, which we understand what is right and wrong, what is sinful and what is not, and we still participate in some of these sinful things, we have separated ourselves from God, and we need to be reconciled, brought back to Him. Ephesians 2, verse 16, beginning at 16, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. The cross in and of and by itself, Jesus' death in and of and by itself on the cross did not add people to the body. It purchased the body whereby these souls would be placed, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and them that were nigh. For through Him, Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 tells us what position Christ has in this arrangement. This arrangement that God had in His mind before the world was created. It tells us there in He, speaking of Christ, is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. The church matters because the body of Christ is the church. The church is the body of Christ. And He gave His body upon Calvary's cross to purchase it. Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, or 21 and 22, tells us that the reconciled are the one-time enemies, now redeemed by Christ's blood. As the Apostle Paul was directed to write to Colossae, at this point we see in you that were sometimes alienated enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. The church matters because the church is Christ's body. It is Christ's body that belongs to Him. Let me ask you a question. Does your body belong to you? Well, of course it does. That's a foolish question, but it's a question that needs to be answered so we can fully understand. If our body belongs to us, it stands to reason that Christ's body belongs to Him. The church, the body of Christ, was bought and paid for by His blood. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Paul was conversing with the elders from Ephesus. They had come to see him from Melita, or in Melita. He was on his way traveling. He was, in fact, a prisoner. Yet he was granted certain freedoms, and one of those freedoms was to go and to talk to these elders. And during that discussion with the elders, he told them in verse 28 of Acts 20, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Now, of course, these were the elders from Ephesus. They had been made overseers of the body of Christ that met in Ephesus. And he said, "Take heed unto yourselves." That's important, because if the elders are not elding properly, they're not taking care of the body, then they're not taking care of the members of the body, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. It is Christ's body that carries out His will to seek and save the lost. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, we see what the church is to be, or what the church is. The reason that it does not remain such in some places is because people don't remain in the truth. But 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 tells us it is the pillar and the ground of the truth. "But if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." It is Jesus Christ's body built upon that foundation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that must continually and forcefully put forth the Word of God to save souls. And so the church is tasked with taking this truth to the whole world. As you turn to Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, ask yourself the question, why aren't our friends and neighbors converted? And the answer is very easy. It comes very easy to our tongue. Well, because they don't want to be. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know the truth. I think sometimes it's because those who are part of the church don't fulfill what Christ commanded. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 16 tells us what we are to preach, what we are to teach. We're to teach the truth, and those that believe and are baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. As these people hear the word of God, as they obey it, they are added to the church, and it's Christ's body that serves and worships God in spirit and in truth. When you stop and think about it, God's not served or worshiped in any other body than the church today. Some people are going to argue that point. And I said, now we worship. We have our church. There's only one. So how can our church be a thing when there is the church? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. We will see that this is written to brethren. This is written to Christians. These are written to people who are members of the body of the church, the body of Christ, which is the church. Those who are participating in God's plan to save souls. And Peter was directed to write to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I go back to my previous statement. God is not served or worshipped in any other body than the church today in a manner in which is acceptable to him. They may offer worship as much as they want and however they want, but if it's not according to God's plan and God's word, it is not acceptable to God. The church matters because the church is saved people. In the article I mentioned about the little exercise that children have, and we've seen it several times, and I had to do it several times to get it right so I could turn my hand just right and open the doors and there's the people or something like that. The church is Christ's body, and it contains the saved people. When you stop and think about it, there's no other place of forgiveness than in the church for which Jesus died. People all the time pray for forgiveness. But if they're not children of God, does he grant that prayer? Stop and think about it. Isn't the church where the blood of Christ is? It's in the body of Christ. Where's your blood? Hopefully it's in your body. And it has a specific function. It sustains life. The same thing with the blood of Christ. And it's in his body. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. If you don't know what redemption means, here it is. The forgiveness of sins. How? According to the riches of his grace. He's provided this benefit to those who are in contact with his blood. And because of that, we should be kind one to another. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. We should forgive one another. You know, we all have faults. We all have things within our lives. We all irritate other people. I know we do. I know that because sometimes you irritate me. And I'm not saying that to any one individual. We're people. We're different. We have difference of opinions. We have different personalities. And sometimes we get on each other's nerves. We know this. But what does this passage tell us? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why did God forgive you? Because you contacted the blood of Christ and you were added to the church. You know, it's the saved people who exhort one another to be faithful unto the Lord. Stop and think about it. I mean, seriously think about it. You separate yourself from the church. You don't receive the exhortation you need. What happens? Well, you just go right along with life, wherever life takes you, whichever way you decide to go. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, we see that we are to exhort one another. We are to build one another up. We're to encourage one another. We're to warn one another. Why? Because we're in the same body. We want our body not to hurt, not to be harmed, not to be injured. Brethren, take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Why? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. That edification and being part of the saved people should comfort us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, we see, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. When you stop and think about it, it's the saved people, the people who are part of the church, the people who are part of the body of Christ, who are helping one another learn how to get to heaven. There's not one of us that can make this journey alone. And you say, well, I'm not alone, I have the Lord. But we need to lean upon our brethren as well. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, we see the words of the apostle given to him by the Spirit to those brethren. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Our manner of life should exude holiness. Why? Because we're part of the body of Christ. Because we're part of the church. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 8, as the Apostle Paul has expressed to Timothy as the Spirit directed him, we see the conclusion of that particular section. Because he had fought a good fight, because he had kept the faith, because he had finished his course, he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I've read that passage and I've thought about that passage, and I realize and understand that what that passage is saying, that those who are not members of the body of Christ, those who are not part of the church, those who are not part of that blood-bought institution that will last forever, cannot look forward to the appearing of Jesus. Because at that time, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. The church matters. The church is God's plan. The church is the body of Christ. The church is saved people. I didn't go into several of these things, but the church is the bride of Christ. The church is God's family. The church consists only of those who have been born into the family. And some people say, well, you know, people can be added to family by being adopted. Well, the Lord covers that as well in his word. But we become part of the family of God when we are born in baptism. We participate in that new birth by water and the word, baptism for the remission of sins. The church is the only divine institution here on earth. Anything less than the church is not the church. Anything more than the church is not the church. And the church needs to remain pure. And the only way it can do so is by doing what God says in his word. There's so much more that can be said about the church. It's the general assembly of God, the church of the firstborn, those written in heaven, an innumerable company of angels. Well, you could preach a long sermon on the names of the church. So much can be said and needs to be said about the church. But let's begin by saying and understanding that the church matters. You know, the church needs to matter to each of us here today. Some people say, well, I know that. I obeyed the gospel. It's true even if we've obeyed the gospel, because we need to tell others about the church. We need to tell others about the love of God, the love of Christ, how that the blood of Christ can redeem them as well. We need to tell people about how to become part of the church. The church needs to matter to all others, whether one has never obeyed the gospel, or if one has obeyed the gospel and then sadly separated themselves from God by unrepented sin. The church matters, my friends. But in order to become a part of the church, one must obey God's plan of salvation. We're going to lay that plan of salvation out here in just a minute. But before we do, let me point out that one must, in order to remain part of the church, must continue to obey. They must continue in faithful adherence to the Word of God, to the plan of God, to continue to remain in a covenant relationship with God, a proper covenant relationship. If not, they're still going to be God's children. They're still going to be members of the church, but they're going to be erring members. And an erring member, if they leave this life in such a state, they've separated themselves from the body. How sad it is. It is always important to make sure that an invitation is given so that even those who are part of the body, even those who know that the church matters, it is reinforced as to how much the church matters so that they can take this message and take it to others. One must, in order to become part of the body of Christ, the church that matters so much, must hear the word of God, Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? They must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oftentimes belief and faith is used interchangeably. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One must also repent. Repentance takes place in the mind. It shows within the actions. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, we see that the apostle Paul, when he was known as Saul, had been persecuting the church. Then he was converted. And we see, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God. This gives us the definition of repenting. Turn to God. Turn away from that which is evil and wicked. And turn away from any and everything that would separate us from God. And then do works meet for repentance. One must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We looked at this earlier in Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16. He said, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. One is also to be baptized into Christ. 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Baptized into Christ. Added to the church. Added to the body of Christ. Redeemed by the blood of Christ. And then we are to remain faithful unto death. We're going to return to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. As the Apostle Paul was telling Timothy, as directed by the Spirit, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And again, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've not obeyed the gospel. Know that you're not part of the church. The church does matter. You've not obeyed the gospel, therefore you're not been added to the body. You're not a part of the church, and you're still in your sins. And so you need to obey the gospel. And if you are here and you have obeyed the gospel, but for whatever reason you've allowed yourself to drift away from God, you've allowed sin to come into your life, and it's yet to be repented of, know that you're lost. And know that you have disregarded how much the church matters. But God has provided for this in his plan. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, we see what was told to Simon, who so recently had obeyed the gospel and then allowed himself to slip back into that old life. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. The church matters. If you're not part of it, you need to be. If you are and you have not continued properly, then you can again come back in repentance and prayer. We're going to stand and we're going to sing the selected hymn. We're going to sing the first and the third verse. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?